And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And I thank you for tuning in today. Yeah, you heard me right. This is Andy Webb. I'm filling in today for Al Gordon on Tell Al Tuesday. Al is out and about. I don't know where he is or what he's doing. I'll tell you where I am. You may find this hard to believe. I'm situated outside of a little bitty town, population 800, called Klamath. If you've never heard of it, it's a small town in Northern California where the Bespoke River, Klamath River, flows right into the Pacific. There are whales here. There are bears here. There's everything you want to see. It's been a long road trip that started way back on August 5th with my son and I and our big dog in North Texas. If you want to learn about that, go to lifestylesunlimited.com. Click on the podcast there. We've been recording shows along the road. And I'll tell you, we're able to make this long journey because we've gone down the path to passive income and financial freedom. We acquired our financial freedom some time ago. We are real estate retired. And my guest today on the Tell Al Tuesday show, well, he is squarely on the path himself and working towards his own financial freedom. So we're going to hear who he is, where he is, and what he has done so far. I think you'll take some inspiration away from the show today. So without further ado, Keenan, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Andy. I appreciate it. Happy to be here.
And happy to have you on, and I'm glad to be filling in today for Al. You're sitting out on your path, kind of like we did years and years ago. We're going to talk about investing in single-family houses. That's what you've been up to. But before we get there, maybe set the stage for us. Tell the listener just a little bit about who you are, where you are, that sort of stuff.
Great. I'm born and raised in Houston, Texas. Been here all my life. I'm 29 years old. Had the opportunity to get an education and start working at around the age of 23, and had the luxury of being able to stay with my parents for the first 3 years of working. So just got my job. I actually ran into Lifestyles right around that time. So got the information right around the time where I had a full-time job, saved up, stayed with my parents, and was able to take down three properties because of that head start. And learning the information here that Lifestyles provides and wanting to take advantage of it to create passive and generational wealth.
Very good. Hey, that is the goal, right? Passive income, cash flow, and lots of wealth. And you're 29. I found Lifestyles Unlimited a full decade in terms of age beyond you. I think I was 39 when we caught the radio show. So boy, you've got a full 10 years plus on me. You're going to go a long way. I will tell you that. So you're in Houston, and Houston, really, for the listener, if you don't know, if you're catching me on the coast, San Diego, someplace like that, Lifestyles Unlimited was founded in Houston. Del Walmsley founded the organization 35 years ago, so a very long track record. And we all find it at some point, and it's for you being in Houston, that's great. I mean, you can go out to the case studies, the road trips, all the fun stuff. It's a very good, very well-established group there. Now, you found Lifestyles Unlimited. What was it that convinced you to join? Was there a particular message or something that really resonated with you?
I think it was, a little bit of what Dale talked about. Very seldomly, but it's an important thing. The teacher appears when the student is ready, right? Or when the student is ready, the teacher appears. It was right around the time where I was thinking a lot about real estate and just got my full-time job. And I was hungry to find a real estate mentor or investor that could be a mentor to me. Reached out to an aunt who had recently became a realtor, and she had a mentor of hers that suggested Lifestyles Unlimited as a group in order to get real estate experience and mentorship. And I just, went to the free workshop in person. I felt the authenticity of the speakers, the people there. I didn't feel pressured at all. And I just knew that first day, this is where I needed to be. And ever since then, it's been probably the biggest, best blessing financially to my life.
Yeah, very good. When was that?
That was in 2019.
Years. 2019. Yeah, okay, pre-COVID. Okay.
Pre-COVID, right around that time.
I mean, that's how we differentiate these days, right? Is either pre-COVID, during COVID, or now the post-COVID world. But things changed a little bit, didn't they? So you joined, you mentioned you went to the free workshop in person. Nowadays, we do those online. They're virtually streamed. Yeah. For the listener, if you want to check that out, go to, again, lifestylesunlimited.com. I mentioned that earlier. You can find the podcast there. But there's a button at the top right. It says free workshop. You can register. I think it's about an hour and a half. It doesn't take a real long time. But you'll learn about what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. Keenan, you mentioned mentor. Mentors are hugely important. They've helped us a ton. I'm sure you had the same experience as you began the journey. You always have a lot of questions, and they're there to help you. And you'll learn about the mentorship and the education, and there's just a lot that Lifestyles Unlimited does for you. Did you have, you mentioned your aunt was in real estate as a realtor. Had you had any family or any prior experience in the real estate world as an investor or anything like that?
That's a good question, Andy. And I do want to touch base on, yes, I did use the realtors very much, and they were extremely helpful. But my aunt, ironically, when things happened so ironically, she was a teacher and had just recently, and for a very short period of time, became a realtor, maybe 2 years. And in that window of time where she became a realtor, that's only when I knew to reach out to her for a mentor from a real estate investor. But I hadn't had any previous experience, nor did she. That was the first time she dealt with anything real estate related. I have not known anybody else other than my grandfather who have a few rental properties, but we never talked about it. And I personally didn't buy anything myself before Lifestyles. So pretty much no experience.
You know, a lot of investors, you ask any investor, real estate investor, what's your biggest regret? 99 times out of 100, they're going to tell you that I didn't start sooner. That is one of mine. I just didn't know any better. I didn't hear the show. I didn't hear the message. I had no idea this was even a thing, that I could invest in houses, let alone apartments, and now we do both. So boy, yeah, good for you. You're getting an early start. And to help you along the way, your parents, you resided with them for a handful of years. Have you gone out and bought your own house to live in now? Where are you at now in that sense?
So I stayed with them the first 3 years of me investing or working, right? So I found Lifestyles, when I'm referring to at the beginning of working, the week I started working, which was April of 2019, the same week I found Lifestyles. So I literally found them right when I had a full-time job for the first time. And I stayed with my parents the first 3 years of working there. I've been working there about 6 years now. That first 3 years was pivotal for me to be able to, save up and consider investing in something like real estate. So I couldn't have seen myself doing it without it. I ended up moving out after those 3 years, after that first property, into a apartment with my wife that we share. And now that I know, the expenses to expect when it comes to purchasing or taking down a property, made it a lot easier for me to, spend a little more, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's pretty planable, isn't it? You know what's coming when it comes to the rehab and the ongoing hold costs. So you're renting a property. And I ask this because I do get this question from time to time from listeners. They're like, look, I'm thinking about doing this. I like what you're talking about. I like the idea of investing in a single family rental house. But I'm renting an apartment and I kind of want to buy my own house. Do I need to do that first? Do you need to do that first? Apparently not. Right?
No.
Yeah, it keeps your debt to income ratio lower so that you can do the financing that we talk about, right? We're going to shift gears and talk a little bit about the houses here in just a second, how you financed it, those sort of things. I'm curious, though, you said you went to the free workshop. From there, normally people then go to the two-day. I'm going to assume you did the two-day in Houston. Would that be right?
That's correct. I actually got the opportunity to get it from the one and only Dale. Dale taught my two-day. It was actually the last one that he taught before COVID started.
Very good.
And 2019, and I got him.
That is a good thing. We joined, my wife and I, in 2012, and Dell came up to Dallas, where we live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area when we're not out on the road, and he came up to Dallas, and it was wonderful. He is a superb teacher. What were some of the big takeaways that you took that day from Dell on Saturday during single family, or maybe on Sunday when we talk about apartments?
For me, first and foremost, his energy in general, right? For him to be at the age he was at and the breadth of experience, to see that vitality and energy and excitement towards real estate, especially being, somebody I consider to be very interested in finances, it was very influential on your ability to, take the credit, believe in his credibility and learn what he was teaching. And one of the things I told him about is when he told us the tax benefits, the benefit of if you create passive income, the tax system will allow you to defer the taxes on it. But if you work and trade your time for money, you're paying, you know, anywhere between 15, 20, and 50% if you have state taxes that you're dealing with, Medicare and, you know, things like that. So it was just amazing to me to realize that if I invest, I pay less taxes. But if I trade my time for money, I pay more, pretty much half almost, in taxes.
Yeah, it's an interesting system we've built here in this, isn't it? We tax the people that work the hardest, and it's crazy. But yeah, and it's interesting. You mentioned the tax advantages as being the big eye opener. For me, it was the cash flow. We needed to get my wife retired. We were really focused on the cash flow. That's one of the ways we make money. And we typically talk about the five ways we make money with our houses. I'm not going to dive into all of those, but the tax advantages are really, really big. I didn't really understand that till we were a few years into our progress and really started to see the impact on our tax returns. So, hey, good for you seeing that. You're looking down the road far, far farther than we did when we started out. So, yeah, good deal, good deal. And for the listener, the two-day, that's our two-day financial freedom seminar that is offered in Houston, San Antonio, Dallas-Fort Worth area. I know we have one coming up pretty soon here in September in Colorado Springs. We do these across the nation. If you text the keyword radio to 88007, again, 88007, you'll get a link. You can read about what that means, what that is, what that costs, and where that's going to be in the near term, and see if there's one coming up near you. By the way, Keenan, before COVID, we always did these in person. Now you can do them virtually as well, right, in tandem. So good opportunity for anyone, no matter where you are. So you joined in 2019. What have you done since you've joined? What's your track record look like?
So I've been able to purchase three houses since I've started. Like I say, saved up, you know, the first few years with my parents and bought my first house in December of 2021, my second in January of 2023. And then the most recent one I bought was in August of 2023, my third one. So three single-family homes since October.
Very good. December 21, and then January and August of 23. I actually talked on a recent show about the cash flow snowball, and I think you'll find that as you add another house and another one after that, that cash flow is just going to come in faster and faster. And that I noticed that you got 21 and then you got 2 and 23. Maybe there's a, you know, pause in 24, and I don't know what your goals are. We'll talk about that. But you really pick up speed as an investor as you accrue these cash flowing properties. Let me ask you a question. December 21, that's a good four years ago now. Do you still have that one in your portfolio?
I do. Okay. I was actually going to touch on something about that.
Yeah, well, let's do that. We're going to head into a break in a couple minutes, so we've got a little time left. Why don't you start by telling us, 2019 to 2021, when you found that house, how did you find it? Where is it? And we'll just kind of explore from there.
I found it through the Lifestyles realtors that are exclusively working with Lifestyles. They had Blast. I've seen a lot of houses, but the only thing that made me buy the house I saw was getting tired of passing over deals, making excuses. So I wanted to punch through with it. I had to. And I did it, and I do not regret it by any means because it's my most profitable house.
So let me ask you a question before we get into the house itself. You said you were passing over a lot of deals. For the listener, if you work with Lifestyles Realty, what they do is they send out what we call email blasts. I get these. Keenan and I are probably looking at the same emails. You see them for Houston, for San Antonio area, Dallas-Fort Worth, Tennessee, the Carolina, I mean, all over the place. And you just look at the numbers and say, yeah, this one matches my investing criteria or it doesn't. You said you were passing over deals. Was that still waiting for capital, or was there a little bit of fear still lurking in the background there?
1,000% fear. Bone chilling fear. You know, man, this is a big investment. I saved about two and a half to three years staying with my parents to have the money to do, look into opportunities. And I was just so scared to spend it. And I said, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to have to experience it to know what it really is, and I'm willing to, you know, go all in, and that's exactly what I did.
Yeah, fear is a big mental hurdle, guys. That's something you really have to get over. That's something we can help you with at Lifestyles Unlimited as well. Hey, quick break, and let's get into that house when we return.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Life is challenging and ever-changing. Take control with passive income through real estate investing. Learn how. Learn now. Let Del Walmsley and Lifestyles Unlimited's investors and mentors show you. Meet Del's team and get educated now at Lifestyles Unlimited. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. Thanks for tuning in today. We're joined today by Keenan on Tell Al Tuesday. I'm filling in for Al where he's out and about. Who knows where? I'm coming to you, by the way, if you missed the earlier part of the show. I'm in Klamath, California. You'll have to look that up. It's almost to the Oregon border. We're just out and about in the RV. And, you know, Keenan, you mentioned ahead of the break fear. Fear was a big hurdle, and you were passing on all these houses. And I bet if I did the same thing, 2012, when we joined in March, finally bought a house towards the middle end of the year. I can look back. In fact, I drive around the city where I live with my son, and I point out these houses to him. I'm like, look, buddy, I was in that house. I could have bought that house. I should have bought that house. When I see what has happened to the market, right? I missed a ton of opportunity. You can't let the fear hold you back. What got you over the fear eventually?
That's a great question, Andy. For me personally, and it's so hard for me to, you know, transfer that, I guess, epiphany moment to anybody else, because you definitely have to go through it, I feel like, yourself. But it was the fear of not taking action. My fear was, you know, I was going to become more accustomed to looking, analyzing, and passing on deals than I would looking, analyze, and taking action on deals. So that overwhelming feeling of, you know, my life story was going to be, yeah, I looked at a lot of properties, man, but never bought one, is what ultimately pushed me over the hump.
Very good. Hey, whatever it takes. And for me, for us, it was just getting more education. Again, we didn't have any background. That eventually got us to where we felt like we knew things. Would you describe yourself as a type A or a type B personality?
Analysis paralysis. That's me.
Yep. I'm with you. I'm in the same boat. And it's, I think most people out there in the world are type Bs. And if you find yourself like Keenan was, and like I was as well, encountering that analysis paralysis, I think just jumping in, that's eventually what happened, Keenan. Just like you, my wife, I was out of town and she said, we're doing this. She pulled the trigger, right? Done. Okay. That saved us. That got us going. So tell us about that first house. You're in Houston. You're in Houston proper. Where was that first house that you bought?
East side of Houston, a little area called Sunnyside, economically, you know, lower middle class. The house was in crazy disrepair. I got it for $77,000 at that time in 2021. It needed $75,000 worth of repair, new plumbing, electrical, new roof, foundation repair, flooring. That was the first deal. So I couldn't even, you know, stand up straight in the house. I was so afraid the roof would fall in on me. literally. But like I say, at that moment, it was do or die. So I went all in, and I don't regret it by any means, not even a little bit.
So for the listener, that's what we're targeting, though, are these houses that are in disrepair, that need work. Some need $30,000 in work. Some need closer to $100,000, right? There's a whole spectrum there. What was the reason we buy these, by the way, is because we buy at a low price. That's why you got a house for $77K. Yeah, you do the work. What was the market value at the time after you fixed it up?
After I fixed it up, it was right around the time where the market was appreciating, so I got a benefit from that. It appraised for about $187,000, I can't remember exactly. But at that time, that was a dramatic amount, considering if you add the 77 plus the 75, that kind of puts you at right around 145, 144.
Yeah.
Yep. Less than 150. And, you know, so that's a, you know, almost a $50,000 equity capture in that house.
It's a big spread, and that's what we're looking for. The common example I give, because it's easy math, is I buy a house for $100K, I do $50,000 in repairs, and when I'm done with it, when it's fixed up and I've added the value back to that dilapidated thing, it's shiny now. It's not a diamond in the rough. It is a shiny diamond, right? Now it values at $200K or even $250K. That spread between purchase and repairs, $150K to $200K, that's my equity capture. That's a great way to make a return very, very fast. How long did the repairs, the renovations take? Do you remember?
Yes, I do. 3 months exactly. I was blown away that you can repair a house that probably hadn't had maintenance done to it in 20, probably 30, 40, 50 years even, in 3 months. It took 3 months exactly.
Yeah.
To do all the work necessary.
And that's about what...
Incredible.
Yeah, for $75K in rehab, that's good progress. Typically, we might be somewhere between 2 to 4 months. And in that short period of time, you've created that extra $50,000 in equity. That is like grabbing wealth out of thin air just by adding value back. That's a huge, huge return. What was the age of the house?
The house, I believe, is about 1940 or 60, somewhere in that range. I can't say exactly.
Yeah.
I would lean towards 40.
So the older they are, the older you go, typically your renovation budget goes up. That's just a function of the age of the property. Of course, those repairs, the need for repairs are often accelerated by the lack of care of the prior owners. How much of the work were you out there doing the plumbing repairs and the roof? How much work did you do yourself?
Definitely not. The only work I did was watching, anxiously from a side, watching the professionals do what they do. Every now and then, I wasn't even there often, but I didn't do any of the work myself because I didn't know what to do. I never repaired a house in my life, not even close.
Yeah, and that's the way you should do it, right? David Fisher, he's one of our life changers that presents, much like Dell at the 2-Day. He'll tell you, we teach you how to write a check. That's all you want to be doing. Especially when you're in a career and you're working and it's your first house, you don't have time to be down there hanging the gutters, putting the new shingles on. Keenan, some people do that, and I don't understand it because it takes them a year to renovate the house on the weekends. It's just a crazy mindset. You've got the right mindset, doing it right, writing the checks. Hey, I'll take a look from time to time. I like to drive by and see the progress, too. That's great. So that was your first house, fixed up in 3 months, and then what did you – you're not a flipper, right? What did you do after that? You rented it out, right?
Right. Rented it out for long term. Like I say, still have that house. And
how did that tell us about that? We talked about fear, and a big fear a lot of people have is not being able to lease the property. How was that process for you?
Like I said, definitely something I feared as well. But like I said, when you put a house on the market that's completely renovated, right, you do what you're supposed to do up front. My first tenant that occupied the house, I found in, I think, a week or two. Definitely within the same month that I leased it or marketed it. And I did it myself. I just put a sign in the yard, put it on Zillow myself, no cost. Somebody saw it on Zillow, came by. He thought the house was brand new construction. That blew my mind when he said he thought it was brand new construction. I was like, wow, this house is, 1940s, 1960s in age, and somebody could think it was just built. So it didn't take long at all. And like I say, he was thanking me. He brought me he brought me a bottle of champagne the day he moved in to thank me for renting my house.
You're kidding
it all, with the note and everything. Thank you so much for trusting me with your house and whatnot. And like I say, I just found that mind blowing that somebody could thank you for paying the biggest monthly expense that they have. That's incredible.
How did you cover those rehab costs?
That's a good question. what's the most interesting part of, how we finance these properties and how we're taught here at Lifestyles to go about financing. I actually had a hard money lender, which is a lender who offers a higher interest rate for a more flexible loan, shorter term. So they go about funding the purchase and the rehab, and you pay a percentage of that or closing costs if the after repair value is high enough to where you can cover the purchase and the rehab with about 70% of that after repair cost. So if you have a $200,000 appraisal on the house after it's going to be repaired, they'll give you 70% of that to do the purchase and the rehab of the house. So that's how I went about doing it, paying a little bit of the difference. So I did not have to come to the table with nothing other than, you know, what was left over after that 70% after repair value loan.
Yeah. Yeah, very well explained. That's exactly right. It's a construction loan, and the reason we use these in part is because the condition of the properties are, it's often so bad that we cannot get a conventional loan, the standard loan that maybe you, to the listener, have on your property if you own your own home. We just can't do that. But a hard money loan doesn't care about the condition today because they're forward looking, and we tell them what our scope of work is. They send out an appraiser in most situations, and they say, well, based on what you're doing, it's going to look like these houses that recently sold, and they're all valued at $200,000. So bam, that's good. That it's not an as is appraisal. It's a subject to the work. So yeah, the lender, and we have lenders that lend at 70% of ARV after repair value. We have some that lend at 75% where you can get even more cash. It kind of depends on the market. Keenan, that high interest, was that a little bit scary at all for you?
It was the first time around, right? Because, you know, you're afraid that, oh, the, you know, repairs take a little longer, I'm going to pay, you know, another month of interest. But I think the most interesting thing about that short-term loan and how real estate works is you have 30 days between each payment. So even if you pay one payment that you didn't expect, you have 30 more days for the contractor to finish up the work. You did get the, you know, second loan started. So it's just so much time between the payments that you have as real estate. I think that's what makes it so much more flexible. It's not like you're paying every day.
Right. Yeah. And in fact, the interest is paid in arrears. The construction loan, the hard money loan, is an interest only loan. So yeah, you've got a whole month of work done before you pay that first interest payment. That's a really good point. I had not really presented that idea before. And yeah, that works in our favor. And even if it is 14, I was nervous about way back when I had a finance background. I saw this 14% interest loan. I was like, what are you crazy? I'm not paying 14%. But guess what? Just the cost of doing business. And if you're in that loan like Keenan for what, 3-4 months, it doesn't matter. You're in, you're out. What do you do to get out of that loan? What did you refinance into after that?
Long-term conventional loan, same one that most people would have on their primary residence. But the difference is, instead of having to put 25%, you know, percent down of that loan, I'm able to use that loan to basically swallow the hard money loan or high interest loan. And actually, I got cash back from the closing of the second loan, which was incredible.
That's good. Depending on how you do it, right? If you do a rate and term refinance and roll from hard money into that conventional loan, I think the cap that you can get back in terms of cash is $2,000. If you sit in that hard money loan longer and let it season, usually 6 months, then you can do a full cash out refinance and pull even more out. I know some people go one way, some people go the other. Either way, you've reset that debt at a much lower interest rate. And I want to go back to what you said about you've had a couple of resident turns in your first house. Each time you've taken up the rent massively. But what's happened with that fixed rate debt? Has it changed?
Nope. That's the benefit of, you know, when you buy right and you have, you know, like you said, a fixed interest loan, payment is the same. You know, the only thing that's changing is taxes, insurance, but they change a very small amount on the monthly basis. And so, no, as I'm going up in rent, I'm keeping the same, you know, principal interest and tax and insurance payment. So it's incredible what that does to cash flow.
Yeah, your cash flow grows and grows. And again, as somebody that's been doing this since 2012, I've got a few houses that I've had a little bit on the longer side. And man, that gap, boy, it really grows. I mean, rents tend to go up over time. That's they track with inflation, and there's always a little bit of inflation in the market. Very good. So that's a wonderful thing. So house number one you've done two more recently. I'm curious. I want to go back, actually. Let me think about this. You said $75,000 in repairs. You didn't do the work. Did you hire a general contractor? How did you manage those repairs?
Right. Lifestyles, fortunately, provides, you know, all the vendors that you need to make real estate happen. And a part of those list of vendors are general contractors who have experience not only with rehabbing houses from ground up, they also have experience with the Lifestyles model. So they don't price gouge you trying to make the house as beautiful as possible. They advise you on repairing it to the surrounding houses, making sure you repair what's necessary, and provide a great product, but not something that, you know, completely is over budget or unnecessary improvements.
Yeah, you can over rehab a house. I got a sticker from one of the general contractors in my area that we've used quite a bit, and I think it says, I'm trying to remember now, it's plastered on a filing cabinet back at home, but I think it says it's not my house, it's my investment. Right? We don't renovate a rental property to the tippity top, push the market, right? Everything granite, everything, you know, coriander, whatever. We rehab it to the market. Maybe that's a Formica countertop, right? We keep things within reason. And I want to underscore what you said. You found a lot of these contractors on the vendor marketplace. It's something we have at Lifestyles Unlimited. I've used that anytime I go into a new market. First place I go is look at the vendor marketplace. I've got a few houses in the Houston area, for example, Keenan. So I need to go. Who do I need to find? Go to the vendor marketplace, and they're available for me there. So good stuff. I'm curious, as a member that joined in 2019, I know things shut down for COVID for a period of time, but we've opened things back up obviously for a while now. And I know in Houston, just like in Dallas, you guys do the single family road trips. Did you get out to those on the weekends when you could?
Yeah, I did. I actually won the drawing. They usually do drawings there. They have a house they're showing on those road trips. They'll do a drawing with some of the members there, and you know, you get first position, second position, third position, you know, kind of like a raffle. And I actually won it before. But like I say, I was so nervous. One of the ones I won in that time just found a reason to pass up on it. So many opportunities. People worry about deal flow, yeah. But there's a lot of deals, way more than you probably have money for. And
I'm going to tell you, we had the same experience, single family road trip, Dallas, pole position. Actually had it under contract, and we got cold feet and ran away. We got scared. So, yes, it happens. You get over it, and things improve, and things are improving. You got one house, then you got another couple after that. Looking forward, what are the goals? What's the plan?
My biggest plan moving forward is just to make sure to cover my expenses with the cash flow, right? My whole thing is, as long as I can, you know, offset the expenses that I have with the passive cash flow coming in, the amount of money that I make from my active job is going to be able to be used to continue to build houses in the future easier while I live my life. So you live the lifestyle, but you're continuing to build the investment. And slowly but surely, you'll be in a position where working is an option and not a requirement to live.
I love that. Work is an option and not a requirement. Absolutely. And that's what we call financial freedom. And, you know, I opened the show talking about our financial freedom. My wife and I built up to that over a number of years, and you're working on it now. And for the listener, that just simply means, like Keenan said, I have covered all of my household expenses, all of my monthly expenses, all of my lifestyle expenses with passive income. For Keenan, that's income coming from rental houses. For me, that's income coming from rental houses as well as apartments. We have other members that join, and they say, I'm not interested in single family. I don't want to do that for whatever reason. It's great. I mean, the returns are huge here, but they just do apartments. So you have a lot of opportunity there. And we didn't really get into returns. You mentioned that this first house you bought was your highest returning house. What kind of percentage return did you see, if you can tell us, gains on the capital side or cash flow wise?
So the first house, I end up, you know, receiving 100% return on equity. So the amount I put in, which was about $40,000 at that time, because I had a lot of cost overruns on my end. I ended up having, you know, $50,000 in equity. So it was about almost 110 return on equity and cash flow about 10%. But putting that much in, that's a big cash flow. Around that time, it was about $400, right? So 40 for 400. But over the time where I increased the rent, right now I'm at $615 from that house. And the equity is $60,000 plus in that house now.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Well, you doubled your money, right? 3 months of repairs, you doubled your money in a quarter of a year, third of a year, something like that. 10% return. And like you said, I mean, $600 cash flow in Texas right now, that's hard to get. You're going to get maybe $250, maybe $300 just due to mortgage rates. But over time, that will go up. You have to be forward looking just like Keenan is. We're almost out of time. Any last minute advice for the listeners?
Just get the information. Be frugal, save your money, right? And when an opportunity seems right, take a chance. Once you buy the first house, every other one after that will be easy. And next thing you know, it'll become a normal part of what you do with your money. And that's by investing.
Yeah. Absolutely. One becomes three, becomes five, becomes 10, becomes financial freedom, and you are real estate retired. Well, hey, Keena, thanks for joining us today. Happy to fill in today for Alan. To the rest of you, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. You have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at LifestylesUnlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.